edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
And I
kind of like the same MO of black man came in with a shirt over his face and presented a gun, so maybe the involved as well.
Morehead police are investigating a weekend robbery at a local gas station.
The city of Morehead is expected to give a final passage to a new fiscal budget.
The Ashland police have a new second in command.
In sports, Morehead State's head basketball coach has inked a new extension.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly cloudy this evening. Lows will be in the mid-60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
The weekend holdup of a gas station north of town has Morehead police investigating. According to Chief David Sexton, the incident took place around 3 o'clock Saturday morning at the Speedway on Route 32 when an armed man entered the business, made off with an undetermined amount of cash, and fled on foot. Sexton notes that authorities believe the incident was likely related to a pair of weekend robberies at two gas stations in Westwood, Grayson, and Lexington.
From what we can tell, they do appear to be connected on their face. We also just heard on the news this morning down in Lexington, sound like the same MO, a black male came in with a shirt over his face and presented a gun, so maybe the involved as well.
Sexton says the clerk inside the Morehead Speedway was not injured during Saturday's robbery.
Kentucky State Police believe that those two other armed robberies in the region may be connected. According to authorities, the first robbery occurred on Friday night around 10:45, shortly before a Shell service station in Westwood was going to close. The suspect allegedly entered the store brandishing a handgun and demanded money from the register. The clerk complied, and the suspect fled the scene on foot. It is believed the suspect was later picked up by a vehicle and headed toward Ashland. The suspect is described as a black male in his 20s or 30s, around 5 feet 9 inches tall. He was wearing a red baseball cap, a dark long-sleeve shirt, and black shorts. The second robbery occurred some 3 hours later at a Marathon gas station in Grayson. In that case, the suspect was a white male, but police say the robbery had the same M.O. They add that possibly the same handgun was used in both robberies. If you have any information regarding those robberies, contact the Boyd County Sheriff's Department.
A springtime internet investigation into child predators has resulted in 17 Kentucky arrests. MSPR's Samantha Morrill reports.
73 investigations conducted in April and May yielded 17 arrests in relation to crimes perpetrated by child predators in the Commonwealth. The task force charged with carrying out Operation Broken Heart 3 was comprised of around 30 state, federal, and local agencies. Those agencies worked with the National Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, and the majority of arrests made were the result of investigating online networks which are routinely used to distribute and share child pornography. The National Task Force is comprised of some 3,000 agencies whose collective goal was to arrest as many offenders as possible during the two-month period. The national investigation resulted in 1,370 arrests. In addition to the investigations and arrests, community awareness was a large part of Operation Broken Heart 3. Across the country, 2,300 presentations were given on the subject of internet safety. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Samantha Morrill.
A man is being treated for injuries after crashing his motorcycle in Bath County yesterday. 51-year-old Everett Simpson was traveling along Kentucky 36, 3 miles north of Owingsville, when he failed to negotiate a curve and hit an embankment. Simpson was airlifted to the University of Kentucky Medical Center, where he is listed in stable condition. The accident is being investigated by Morehead Post 8 KSP.
Carly Fiorina has been campaigning for U.S. Senator Rand Paul's re-election in Kentucky, reuniting the two one-time presidential candidates. Fiorina, the former chief executive officer of Hewlett-Packard, appeared at a fundraiser for Paul at the Louisville home of Kathy Bailey, the former ambassador to Latvia under former President George W. Bush, and a major Republican donor. Fiorina told the crowd of a few hundred people Friday night that she was not campaigning for Paul out of her loyalty to the Republican Party, but because of her admiration for Paul and his policies. Neither Paul or Fiorina mentioned presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, whom they both sharply criticized during their respective presidential campaigns. Paul is facing Democrat and Lexington Mayor Jim Gray in the November general election.
It's no secret that the economy in Appalachia is struggling, with unemployment on the rise in the region due to the decline in the coal industry and an upsurge in concern for the health of the environment. Appalachia needs to be able to evolve into a more sustainable place to live. Berea College graduate and former reporter Jim Branscom has a plan that he thinks is the best option for creating a thriving Appalachia. He's calling it the Appalachian Homestead Act. Branscom is a native of the Virginia coal fields, and his new plan includes the government buying back land from bankrupted coal companies to help the people revive the land and bring hope to the region.
People not having access to those kinds of things is what keeps an economy in a backward state and limits the opportunity for people to think there's a chance for advancement for themselves and their children. And the truth is, can you imagine anybody who's harder working than a coal miner? Can you imagine anybody who's harder working than a farmer who's scratching out a living in the hills of Appalachia? We're talking about some of the most enterprising people on the face of the earth.
While he opposes the stigma of laziness in Appalachia, he admits that the process will have to begin with the revival of pride in the region and a desire for real progress. Branscom says he has received an encouraging response from people to his call for an Appalachian Homestead Act and believes that it could be the solution to a deteriorating economic situation in the region.
The University of Louisville is accepting applications for a new degree program in healthcare leadership aimed at working adults. The school says in a statement that the program is geared towards those who want to get their bachelor's degree and have at least 2,000 hours of experience in healthcare and 24 transferable college credit hours. The statement says participants can gain college credit for job experience. Online classes are offered through the College of Education and Human Development and can be completed as schedules allow. The program is accredited at the same level as traditional courses.
KET will be airing the second edition of a documentary produced by a Morehead State University instructor of mass media. Commonwealth Curiosities, An Ode to Kentucky's Unique Attractions, Volume 2, will air in late July. Steve Middleton spearheaded the effort, which features interesting attractions in nine small towns around the Bluegrass.
Went from east to west in the state, north to south, trying to cover these kind of disappearing places and chronicling them and documenting them. As interstate systems drive people away from the old roads, you just don't see too many places like this anymore. And that was kind of our goal, was to showcase some of these lesser known places. And Kentucky's a pretty cool state.
Middleton's documentary will air multiple times from July 21st to July 31st. He was helped in the project by five students from MSU's Convergent Media Department.
City Council is expected to give final passage to Morehead's fiscal 2017 budget during a special meeting this evening. The spending plan will encompass $8.1 million. Mayor Jim Tom Trent is confident it will provide the city with a solid financial blueprint for the next 12 months.
We think that everything is taken care of that we needed to do, which ran the gambit of some higher insurance rates that we needed to take care of before our employees, and we did that, and other projects and other things that were priorities for our five departments.
Morehead's new budget includes a $1.5 million carryover, while the original belief was that figure it would be $1 million less than that. The city's auditor told officials to revise upwards based on better-than-anticipated revenue forecasts.
Rowan County Superintendent Marvin Moore says a new security front entrance that's been constructed at the district's high school will make the building a much safer place for both its staff and students. Moore says those entering the facility will have to first pass through a completely enclosed and locked vestibule.
It's about a 20 by 20, and it'll have a buzzer system. All doors in the front will have a buzzer for anybody to get in the building. They have to be buzzed in to that first entrance, and they can't go beyond there unless they activate the buzzer. And then that allows them to go to the main office area and get permission to talk to whoever they need to talk to at that time.
The new high security entrance will be bulletproof and staffed by two people. It's part of a $4.5 million renovation project at Rowan County Senior High School, which began in the spring of 2015 and will be finished this summer.
The Ashland Police Department now has a new second-in-command. The Ashland Board of City Commissioners promoted long-serving officer Bill Hensley to Major Thursday. Hensley has worked in law enforcement for over 20 years. He says he's looking forward to taking on more responsibilities.
I oversee all the officers, just kind of guide them, set policy. I'm over the budget, make sure they have the equipment and the items they need to perform the duty, make sure they have the training they need. I handle any type of assignments and any type of disciplinary actions that might need to take place.
Hensley oversees two platoons of patrol officers made up of four teams. He will assume the title August 1st.
A Kentucky legislator wants to make it a hate crime to target first responders. State Representative Kevin Bratcher filed the bill last week. Currently, a crime can be labeled a hate crime if a person is targeted because of their race, color, religion, sexual orientation, or nationality. Representative Bratcher hopes to strengthen penalties for those who attack or harm EMS, police, or firefighters by labeling those attacks as hate crimes. He spoke with WKYT.
If it is a murder and it goes to the death penalty, right, the hate crime legislation will not affect that. But on certain areas, it will enhance it, that if it's been proven that somebody attacked a police officer or a firefighter or an EMS simply because of what they were doing, then this will enhance the prosecution.
The bill, similar to one passed last month in Louisiana, will go to the legislature for consideration in January.
The 4th of July is just 1 week away, and firefighters are warning people to stay safe during their celebrations. There will be many opportunities to watch professional fireworks shows in the coming week, but some revelers prefer to put on their own show. Lexington Fire Captain Chris Bartley has some safety tips. He spoke with WKYT.
A wide open space, shoot them off there. Don't hold them in your hands. And have an extinguisher or a bucket of water or even sand available nearby just in case it does cause a fire.
He adds that if a firework goes up or blows up, it's illegal. Around 11,000 firework-related injuries are reported every year nationally.
Taking a look at the weather for the MSPR listening area tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with some patchy valley fog near dawn. Lows will be in the mid-60s. For your Tuesday, expect mostly sunny skies with highs in the lower 80s. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with lows in the upper 50s. For your Wednesday, it'll be mostly sunny with highs in the upper 70s. And Wednesday night will be mostly clear with lows in the upper 50s. For Thursday, it'll be sunny with highs in the lower 80s. And Thursday night will be mostly clear with lows in the lower 60s. It's currently 78 degrees in Ashland, 84 degrees in Flemingsburg, 75 degrees in Inez, 81 degrees in Lexington, 80 degrees in Winchester, and it is 81 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:43 the time. You're currently tuned in to Mountain Edition. The Morehead Community Recycling Center has a new director. As a recycling veteran, Ellie Sector retires after more than a decade on the job. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has more.
The sound of tumbling aluminum cans is becoming very familiar for MCRC's new head, William Colin Alexander. He graduated from Morehead State this spring with degrees in marketing and Appalachian studies. Alexander says his training so far has given him the chance to drive forklifts, but the most important information comes from picking the brain of Ali Secor, who worked at the center for the last 15 years, spending 10 at its helm. She sees recycling as a good way to keep materials out of the ground and in the economy.
You come at it from a global perspective of helping the environment and saving landfill space. You help the environment because making materials from already made materials as opposed to virgin materials saves a lot of energy and a lot of water usually. Environmentalism is a big driving force. Now, when you get into the actual business of recycling, you know, that's in the background. You have to pay attention to all the different markets. It becomes economics.
The new director has his share of marketing know-how and says so far the biggest problem he's had is communicating the needs and capabilities of the center to those who use it.
People do not necessarily realize how big of a deal recycling paper and cardboard products are to our center. And I'm looking here at the numbers from last quarter, and cardboard made about 50% of our earned income at the center. And it's very difficult to translate that message to people because they feel like trees are renewable, that you shouldn't worry with recycling cardboard because it's just a waste of time, when it's really our big go-to item. Without cardboard, our doors would close tomorrow.
Another problem is that the center can no longer take glass recyclables. Alexander says the market for glass is prone to dramatic fluctuation.
We're in what's known as the Chicago market, and glass is very far down in the Chicago market. Other regions of the United States aren't necessarily having the same problems that we are.
But there's good news, too. Alexander says new grants from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management will bring much-needed upgrades.
We'll be getting a new forklift, we'll be getting a new lift for our truck, and we'll be able to recycle all of the batteries that we currently have, which is an increasingly problematic situation because household batteries are a biohazardous material, so it's really hard to get anyone to take them. And we have a backlog of a lot of batteries in the facility right now, so it'll be nice not only to get those out and recycled, but to free up the space.
And that's a fundamental idea behind recycling. CCOR says using space wisely can be a good way for small communities to involve themselves in the big picture.
We're shipping, you know, 3 or 4 truckloads every month of stuff that would have gone in the landfill. So you've got a piece of land out there, you know, you can make it into a landfill or you could do something else with it. That's the opportunity cost. And so if you need more space to bury stuff that could be out in the economy and in the marketplace being used again properly, then that's the way you want to go.
For those who want to learn more, Alexander recommends stopping by.
If you've never been to the facility, you can tour the facility at any time, 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We have someone there on Saturday as well. And also take advantage of our shredding, and we also offer pickup on Sundays for a monthly charge.
If that interests you, get in touch with Alexander at the Moorhead Community Recycling Center. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Arlo Barnett.
4:47 the time. At 5 o'clock, we've got all things considered, but in the meantime, Eric has sports coming up next.
Coach Sean Woods is going to remain with the Eagles. High and hello, and it's another Monday afternoon for MSPR Sports. I'm Eric Matthews. After accumulating 20 wins a season in his first 4 seasons at the helm of men's basketball, Sean Woods has signed an extension through 2020 with Moorhead State University. Director of Athletics Brian Hutchinson is pleased with the direction Woods has steered the program.
We certainly are winning a lot of basketball games. We're graduating our student athletes, and a very enjoyable bunch to be around. So, and looking at how you reward people for longevity, sometimes you can reward them financially, sometimes you can't, and in those cases, in my mind, it's better to provide opportunities for security, and so the extension for Coach Woods has that in mind.
In his first 4 seasons, Woods has notched 75 wins, a win total no other coach in program history has done in their first 4 seasons. The Eagles are coming off a season that featured a deep tournament run, playing all the way to Game 3 of the College Basketball Invitational Finals and losing to Nevada. After beating San Diego 3-0 yesterday behind a solid effort from pitcher Anthony DeSclafani Sunday, the Cincinnati Reds are back at home tonight at 7:10 to host the Chicago Cubs. DeSclafani fired 5 hit ball over 8 innings against the Padres and running his record to 2-0 after being activated from the disabled list nearly 3 weeks ago. Manager Brian Price says he had no qualms about trotting the right-hander, who just returned the club, as I mentioned, from the disabled list for 8 innings.
I felt he was throwing the ball great after 7, and he said he felt good. So we had him covered. We had Tony and Lorenzo up behind him, so he wouldn't have, we wouldn't have left him out there to, to get roughed up or jack up his pitch count way up.
4-4, Dan Shaley will pitch tonight versus the Reds. The Cubs will go with 11-game winner Jake Arrieta. The last time Arrieta was on the mound at Great American Ballpark, he threw a no-hitter. Before yesterday's win over the Padres, the Reds continue their weekend celebration of the majors' all-time hits leader, Pete Rose. Before over 40,000 cheering fans, Rose, number 14, was officially retired and added to the team's Ring of Honor at Great American Ballpark. Rose, though, says he told the Reds owner that there might be someone else he'd like to see wear his old jersey number.
And Mr. Castellini, of course, I would like to have a clause in that contract where if Pete Rose III makes the Reds, could he please wear number 14?
Pete Rose III is currently in single A ball. Rose remains suspended from baseball for gambling, admitted he never thought he'd see a day like yesterday. New Rowan County football coach Gene Patterson is trying to get a feel for the size of his team's roster for the 2016 season. Patterson believes the turnout for the Vikings' June conditioning drills has given a decent idea of how many guys he'll have to work with when practice starts next month.
Right now we've got about 20-some freshmen. You know, I knew coming in our senior was going to be our lowest group. We've got, I think, about 10 seniors. About 16 juniors, 20-some sophomores. You know, we're going to be looking around 50-ish, somewhere in that area.
The Viking football team kicks off its 2016 schedule on August 19th at Clay County. A former Marshall football star is giving his alma mater a wad of cash. MSPR's Chuck Meraz reports.
Ex-Thundering Herd All-American defensive end Vinny Curry has given his old school $200,000 for its Big Green Scholarship Foundation. Reports say the money will benefit a facility renovation project in a campus building and fund an endowed scholarship in Curry's mother's name. Curry recently signed a new multi-year contract with the NFL's Philadelphia Eagles, who drafted him in 2012. The player says he wouldn't be where he is today without the education he received at Marshall and the experience there of playing football. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Meraz.
The 12-man roster for Team USA has been announced, and one name that is certain to catch the attention of basketball fans in the Commonwealth State is the addition of former University of Kentucky standout DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins is joined by other notable names such as Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Jimmy Butler, and DeAndre Jordan. As a member of the gold medal-winning 2014 Basketball Cup squad, Cousins averaged 9 points, 7 rebounds, and shot 70% from the floor in his first taste of international play. Team USA will be chasing its third straight Olympic gold medal, and the one common denominator from the previous two Olympics is head coach Mike Krzyzewski. Prior to the announcement of the roster, Coach K revealed this will be his last go-around with the red, white, and blue. The opening game for Team USA will be against China on August 6th. Tip for that game is scheduled for 6 p.m. in Rio. And in worldly news in the world of soccer, after yesterday's fall to Costa Rica in the Copa America, superstar Messi has said that he will no longer compete in international play for Argentina. And today in the Euro Cup Championship Series, Italy took care of Spain 2-1. For MSPR Sports, I'm Eric Matthews. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday.
Support for MSPR comes from Morehead State Athletics, online at msueagles.com. The Morehead State soccer program will host 3 soccer camps for girls ages 12 through 18. Camps begin July 10th and will be held at Jane Stadium on Morehead State's campus. More information from Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 and online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed lower with materials lagging, extending Friday's declines after the Brexit surprise. The major indices came off session lows as the close neared. Traders said there were more buy orders at the close when some had expected to see selling. They also said the market was lifted by investors buying stock to cover short positions. The euro and pound both traded lower, with the U.S. dollar index rising more than 1% in afternoon trade, and this pressured dollar-sensitive assets. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 260.51. at 17,140.24. The S&P 500 was down 36.87 at 2,000.54, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 113.54 at 4,594.44. New York Stock Exchange breadth was over 4 to 1 in favor of losing stocks over winners. The Dow and S&P both broke below their 200-day moving averages intraday for the first time since mid-March, and U.S. crude oil futures were down $1.31, finishing at $46.33 a barrel. Material stocks were down more than 3.5%, and they were the worst performer among the various S&P 500 sectors today. In Europe, stocks were sharply lower, with the German DAX off about 3% and the Stoxx Europe 600 about 4% lower. And in Asia, stocks were actually mostly higher, with the Shanghai Composite up nearly 1.5% and the Nikkei 225 rising almost 2.5%. In the Treasury markets, Treasury yields held lower, with the 10-year yield finishing near 1.46% and the 30-year yield finishing at 2.27%, and for the 30-year, that's its lowest level in more than a year. The Dow Transports were also down 3% in afternoon trade, so the Dow Transports in particular under pressure as trading unfolded today. Among Dow stocks, Johnson & Johnson was your best performer with a gain of 0.8%. Verizon was also they were the second best performer with a gain of just over 0.5%. And your the losers in the Dow Industrials were American Express, which was down 4%, and J.P. Morgan, which was down 3.375%. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Kroger, which was up 4.2%, and Dr. Pepper Snapple, which was up 4%. And your worst performers in the S&P 500 were Western Digital, which was down almost 12%, and Seagate Technology, which was down almost 10%. And in the gold markets, gold futures for August delivery settled up $2.30 at $1,324.70 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $2.05 at $110.75, CSX down $1.22 at $24.48, AEP up $1.05 at $68.31, AK Steel down 34 cents at $4.06, Marathon Petroleum down $2.40 at $32.93, and Verizon was up 30 cents to finish at $54.73. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking a last look at your weather for the MSPR listening area tonight, partly cloudy skies with some patchy valley fog near dawn. Lows will be in the mid-60s. For your Tuesday, it'll be mostly sunny with highs in the lower 80s. Tuesday night will be partly cloudy. Lows will be in the upper 50s. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs near 76 degrees and lows in the upper 50s. For Thursday, it'll be sunny with highs in the lower 80s and lows in the lower 60s. For your Friday, mostly sunny skies with highs in the mid-80s and lows in the mid-60s. For Saturday, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the lower 80s and lows will be in the mid-60s. Sunday will be mostly sunny with a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the lower 80s and lows in the lower 60s. Your Independence Day will be mostly sunny. Highs in the lower 80s.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Samantha Morrill, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemodel contributed. This is Morehead State Public Radio. Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Sean Delaney for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.